At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Kenny Minchie has a slight edge over CJ Carr in camp right now. I'm not sure how that's going to affect going on the road week one in Miami.
How worrisome is this?
I don't think this is an awful thing. At least it's not, well, this guy's young and he's got a high recruiting pedigree, so he's going to win the job anyway. Marcus Freeman is saying, look, Kenny Minchie comes in and plays better in fall camp. That's going to be our starting quarterback. So Marcus lets him, you know, iron sharpen iron, and I love it. I think that's why they win. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Crane & Company. Thank you for making us a daily watch or listen. If you're not subscribed, go ahead and knock that out. And you're going to want to lock in today because we got another big brand that we're going to be predicting the regular season of. Joined as usual by David Cone, former Michigan quarterback, Blaine Crane, former Western State, Colorado wide receiver. We're talking about the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, a team that Marcus Freeman took to the national championship game last year, obviously lost against Ohio State, but did a lot of good things. There's a lot of confidence right now when you look at Notre Dame and the fan base, and they feel like they're back to a point, David, from an athleticism standpoint, when you look at Notre Dame and what Marcus Freeman has done, where they can compete week in and week out with the best. And when you look at their schedule, this, you know, we've been able to make fun of Notre Dame a couple times in the past because of it, but there is no making fun of who the Fighting Irish have lined up to play this year because it's going to be a gauntlet and they're going to have to earn it if they get
there. I really like this Notre Dame team. Obviously, we saw the wide receivers make some plays last year in the college football playoff en route to the national championship, and they just got better at the wide receiver position. And you bring back maybe the best running back in the country, Jeremiah Love. The defense is going to be absolutely stacked. So they fall into this bucket of teams we've been talking about all summer long, really strong rosters, starting a brand new quarterback. How is that going to affect them this season? And just this morning, boys, Blaine, you sent this over from On3. Intel, Kenny Minchie has a slight edge over CJ Carr in camp right now. We've been hearing CJ Carr, whose grandson, Lloyd Carr, I played for at the University of Michigan. We've been hearing he was going to be the starting quarterback. Now it might be Kenny Minchie. I'm not sure how that's going to affect going on the road week one in Miami.
Like, yeah. We're a week away from technically the season.
From week zero. They've still got a couple scrimmages
left.
Yeah,
but how worrisome is this?
It's
going to be a good or bad
thing. Well, this is the battle that this is where fall camp gets interesting, Cone, because if you don't mind in a second, I want you to tell us a little bit, what do you think the difference is between Minchie and Carr? Does Minchie just have more of a run element than Carr? I don't think this is an awful thing or just, oh my God, we're going to be terrible, because I don't think Notre Dame's quarterback has to be amazing this year like some other ones for them to have some success and put themselves in a position to win it. But look, at the end of the day, at least it's not, well, this guy's young and he's got a high recruiting pedigree, so he's going to win the job anyway. Marcus Freeman is saying, look, Kenny Minchie comes in and plays better in fall camp. That's going to be our starting quarterback. And he's navigated, talking about Marcus, his ass off around hurt quarterbacks and this, that, or the other. So Marcus lets him, you know, iron sharpen iron, and I love it. I think that's why they win.
Well, when deciding whether or not this is a pro or a con, here's all you need to know. If you have two quarterbacks who aren't playing well, but they're comparable, that's a bad thing that there's a competition in fall camp. If they're both playing really, really great, but you can't decide who the starting quarterback's good, that's a pro. Remember last year we heard, man, has Will Howard really won the job in fall camp in Columbus? Well, he ended up winning it, and they ended up winning the national championship. So it could be a good thing if both of them are playing well. Because remember, the last two cycles, Notre Dame went to the portal for quarterbacks. Sam Hartman got Riley Leonard. So the fact that Marcus Freeman didn't do that, said he liked what was in the room, maybe both of them are just playing well.
And you know, I want to get right into it. Again, we're going to be predicting just the regular season. We've got the postseason stuff coming up here as we get closer to kickoff. But the different, if there is a worry, a little bit, if I was a Notre Dame fan, this isn't a situation like we had at Michigan, right, with their quarterbacks where you got a couple warm-up games to really find out who's going to be the guy. You get thrown into the fire, fellas, right off the bat, and that's going to Miami, who now has Carson Beck, who now has a new defensive coordinator. We know that they're talented. On the road, not that that's a crazy environment to have to play in, you know, not trying to throw shade at Miami, but it is what it is. So, David, there is no time, and Blaine, there's no time to just dip your toe in the water and get your feet wet and see how you react to it. You got to go in there and try and run a balanced attack, which Mike Denbrock, one of the best play callers in the business, I think is going to let it all hang up.
Well, right now, I mean, Notre Dame is favored in that football game. Minus 2.5, Notre Dame, and even the Texas A&M spreads out for the next week. And that's -7.
For Notre Dame?
For Notre Dame.
So if Notre Dame's favorite in those two games, they're probably preseason favorite
in every football. Well, yeah, how
tough is this? No, they're preseason favorite to win every game.
This schedule is so top-heavy. It's so top-heavy. There's no other...
But in a great way. They have the two toughest games to start the season of anyone in the country.
Yeah, but I would think it falls off pretty hard, doesn't it? I mean, we'll see. What's their toughest opponents outside of that?
USC? I mean, we'll see. I'll tell you right now, I think USC, that's not just going to be a walk in the tulips. Boise presented a lot of... I know they don't have Ashton Gentry.
Yeah.
We'll see what
matters. At Arkansas.
And I'm going to tell you right now, at Pitt, we'll wait till we get there. If you haven't seen Eli Holstein play, Narduzzi typically doesn't have two back-to-back really bad years and struggle like that. I think Pitt's going to be a little bit scary.
Hey, Holstein leaving Alabama, getting the starting job there, and now Dylan
Lonergan,
who left Alabama, the starting quarterback at Boston College, too.
All right, well, let's get into this. At Miami and Carson Beck, week one mega matchup. We have a preview of this game on our YouTube channel as well. We also have a Notre Dame and Miami season preview with Alex Dono for Notre Dame and then Alex Dono for Miami, Brian Driscoll for Notre Dame. But guys, at Miami, cannot wait to see this one. Whether it's Carr, whether it's Minchie, here's what I know about Notre Dame. I know even with Jagasaw getting hurt again this year, that offensive line is pretty damn good. You look at some of the guys that are bringing back, Ashton Craig, some of these guys, and again, they ran for, 200 yards a game, something like that last year. You've got Love. You've got Price. Right, you've got some wide receivers, great house. I like what they did in the portal, bringing in Malachi and Will and some of these other guys, because it's the defense. They're going to lean on this defense. You can make an argument they got the best linebacker group in the country. I think they go down to Miami. I don't think the Miami defense is to the point yet where they can consistently stop a Notre Dame rushing attack, which will open up that play action for Mike Denbrock. I got Notre Dame going on the road.
Well, let me ask you this. How do you think the Notre Dame defense is going to look this year after losing Al Golden to the NFL?
Look, Chris Ash is a hell of a football coach. He's done NFL. He's done
Freeman's Big Ten. Freeman's a defensive guy anyway.
Yeah. I'm not worried. It's kind of like a Kirby situation with me. I'm not going to worry about the defense at Notre Dame while Marcus Freeman is there, because that's kind of his baby. I think they go down there, have a good showing. It may not be sexy, David, but I think it'll be
the easy argument, and I understand everyone who's making it, is, well, Miami, week one at home, brought in an experienced quarterback in Carson Beck from Georgia. New quarterback for Notre Dame, week one early in the season. I'm going to take Miami. I understand that argument, but I'm more in line with Jake right here. I think the physicality in Notre Dame will travel even in week one, and they're trying to piggyback where they left off from last year's national championship loss. I got Notre Dame going down to Miami and winning this one.
One thing I'm interested to see with this Notre Dame team, especially if you watched them last year, how they approach third down this year. Because last year it was, hey, we're clicking the Riley Leonard button.
Yeah.
All right, we are getting downhill with QB run, QB design run. This year is going to be different. We'll see which quarterback plays. But I do know what travels. One, I think Jeremiah Love's the best running back in college football.
It's very easily could be. And so, Price can do it, too.
And I think for Miami to win this game, I think, I can't remember the quarterback's name.
Carson Beck.
Carson Beck, damn. Sorry, I can't believe I forgot that face. But he's going to have to be the hero. He's going to have to play above and beyond for Miami to win this game. But I think Notre Dame quarterback can come in and play good and win this game, because they're going to do what? Control both the line of scrimmage.
Well, yeah.
They have one of the best secondaries in college football, one of the best linebacker cores in college football, and you're going to be able to turn around and hand the ball off. So I do like Notre Dame in this game, but it's going to be a lot tighter than what people think. There's a reason why the spread's 2.5.
Well, I think Miami's going to be better on defense. I like
for
the
sure. It's hard not
brought
to.
In. I like the 4-2-5. That's what I would run if I was the defensive coordinator. But I'll go back to it's eliminating problems for this Notre Dame defense. To me, one of the few ways that you can get to him is by having a mobile quarterback that is a legit threat in the run game. Notre Dame does not have to worry about that with Carson Beck. Notre Dame does not have to worry about him breaking the pocket and all of a sudden you're having to put a spy on him and this, that, or the other. You're eliminating problems with the talent they have in all three levels. Now, the defensive line doesn't have a superstar in it, but you got a lot of veterans that are really, really good players. And then again, that linebacking core, you know, I get Drake Bowen, love the way he plays. I just don't know if Miami, David, will get enough possessions to beat Notre Dame if Notre Dame can line up and run counter and run power and do the things Denbrock wants to do.
Well, we'll see. I mean, even if Miami loses that football game, but they can show that they were more physical than last year, then they're going to have a pretty good path in the ACC to be able to have a good season.
Boys, tailgating time, grilling time in the backyard, the best time of year. Football season is upon us. And you want your team's game to be quality, but you also want the meat that you're grilling or cooking to be quality.
Max.
And that's where Good Ranchers comes in. Now, our barbecues and game day sliders, they're always made with quality meat. That's because Good Ranchers sources 100% American meat, with all the cuts coming directly from local farms and ranches. Now, choosing Good Ranchers means supporting both our community and American ranchers while enjoying their premium cuts that bring families and friends together around the table, which is what it's all about. Plus, with Good Ranch's doorstep delivery, I can worry about literally anything else rather than spending time at the grocery store or searching for something delicious to serve. I mean, heck, the other day we had some of those Wagyu burgers over at one of our kids' birthday parties, and they were incredible. They always deliver. Now, here's the deal. I need you to listen. You subscribe to any Good Ranch's box today. Ladies, I'm talking to you too. You can get your pick of free meat for life. Talking free Wagyu burgers, hot dogs, bacon, or chicken wings in every single box. And when you use our code Booster, that's B-O-O-S-T-E-R, when you go to goodranchers.com, you'll save an extra $40 off. So go ahead and hit them up. Head over to goodranchers.com. We still got time before the season. Use that code Booster, B-O-O-S-T-E-R, for $40 off, plus free meat for life, goodranchers.com. Welcome to the table and to the fam. So we've all got Notre Dame going on the road and beating Miami. Then week two, they do have a bye. You get Texas A&M at home in a game that you went on the road and kind of, I wouldn't say the coming out party for Riley Leonard, because if you go back and watch that game, it wasn't, you know, exactly a work of art they're going to hang in the loop. But it was a huge win at Kyle Field. David, I want to start with you. You talk about a physical war. This is about to be one, buddy.
Yeah, no doubt. And I know a lot of people, like I just said on the Miami pick, are going to have Notre Dame starting off with a road loss, but then holding serve back at home and beating Texas A&M. I have just the opposite. I have Texas A&M traveling in the second half of this home and home. Remember what a physical war this was a year ago down in College Station. I think Texas A&M comes up to Notre Dame this year, gives them some problems at home, and Marcel Reed is able to get out of trouble with his legs with some of the things that Notre Dame defense does really good. This is a loss for me right now for Notre Dame at home.
Blaine, what do you got?
Do we all have Texas A&M winning this game? Because that's what I got.
I don't know. Look, we just got good. This isn't rehearsed.
I think both these teams are similar in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways. How they go about things, they both want to get downhill, run the ball, get in the play action game, but I think Marcel Reed is a difference in this game. Makes big plays, can break the pocket, probably get some big third down with his feet. I think Texas A&M, slight win in this football game. Marcel Reed will be.
What you got?
Well, it goes back. I don't want to be redundant here, but it goes back to what I just said. I think in order to get after this Notre Dame defense, you need a quarterback that can make those couple of plays that a normal pro-style pocket standard quarterback wouldn't be able to make. And then Marcel Reed in the run game in general, you can do some things with him. And Colin Klein now has had a whole offseason with Marcel Reed. But the reason I have A&M winning isn't just that. It's that I really believe that the physicality that A&M brings on the defensive front seven and on the offensive line can match that of Notre Dame's. And then it's a match between the play callers and the pieces. And when I look at the pieces that A&M has, and I talked about how much respect I have for obviously the running back room at Notre Dame and Great House and some of the moves that Notre Dame made in the transfer portal at wide receiver, I look at what A&M has at the skill position. I would take KC Concepcion over all of them. Over all of them on the outside.
Woo!
I would take him.
You're taking him over Great House.
I would take him over Great House. I would.
Stretch.
I know at NC State it wasn't great last year, but I think, and they're both really good players. This isn't one sucks and the other one's great. But I think A&M, Notre Dame welcomed themselves to the party last year at A&M. We're going to welcome ourselves to the party this year in year two under Mike Elko. I've got Texas A&M.
I'm a little surprised we're not more splintered on these first two games. I mean, I understand the thinking. To me, it was kind of just a gut pick, but if Notre Dame does start 2-0 in these first two games, they're setting themselves up.
Oh, you're
beautifully.
Look, if Notre Dame starts 2-0 in these first two games, I would give them about a 75-80% chance you're going undefeated, because that would mean, yeah, you got to go to Arkansas, but we're not big believers in Arkansas this year. You get USC at home, you get Boise at home, you get Navy at home, you got to go to Pitt, which, again, we'll get to that. You get Syracuse at home. Your toughest games really are at home, and you're probably going 12-0, and you're probably the number one seed in the college football playoff at the end of the day. So, all right, we've all got Notre Dame starting off 1-1. Then you get Purdue at home. I know Purdue's going through changes and have made some moves. Got a lot of respect for the brand, and that was a big Joe Tiller guy when he was at Purdue. Who I swear to God, I haven't seen him and Andy Reid in the same room, and I'd love to. I just don't think Purdue has enough anywhere in this game. And if it happens the way that I see it, with Notre Dame losing at home to A&M the week before, they're going to want to give the home fans a good taste in their mouth this time. I think they beat the shit out of
them. I'm hoping for a great football game, being in-state there. Maybe that, you know, Purdue being in Indiana, there's a little vitriol towards Notre Dame. They can make it interesting. But, I mean, I got a check mark for Notre Dame right now.
Yeah, this game might turn into a running clock.
That bad?
That bad. Purdue. I've seen a couple clips of Purdue.
Yeah, it's
not great. It's not great
building.
On that side. Yeah.
It's like, what's that when you can't go into the place? They're like, oh, sorry, pardon our progress. We're building. That's what Purdue's asking you to pardon the little bit of progress that they might have this year. All right, so we all got them 2-1. Then you go to Arkansas.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you guys, I stared at this one for a decent amount of time.
For how long?
About 8 minutes.
Really?
That's long.
It is. Yeah. I mean, my wife thought I was in the movie Click.
Like, you could put an ad in that.
Yeah, you could. You could a mid-roll, be staring at it. Big thanks to Bearskin for sponsoring today's episode. Now, they've sent us their Heavy Storm rain jacket and hoodie combo. And after testing it out in the rain in Ireland, where rain started, I can confidently say this is the best 3-in-1 rain jacket that I've ever owned. It folds down into its own stash pocket as well. It takes up almost no space in your backpack or pocket, which is huge for hiking. And whether it's in heavy rain or light rain, it's an absolute game changer. This thing's also fully waterproof. That's because it's got fully taped seams, silicone sealed zips, adjustable cuffs, and the hood is designed to not allow any water near your face. And it's not just any old jacket. It's also got 5 weatherproof pockets, so all your gear stays dry, whether you're hiking, fishing, biking, tailgating, or in the stadium watching the game. This is one crucial rain jacket that you need. Here's the best part. It actually zips into the Bearskin hoodie. It's a transformer, turning both into a 3-in-1 all-weather system. So your fleece stays warm, and underneath, you stay comfortable and dry on the outside. And you can get yours 60% off. Just text CRANE to 36912. That's C-R-A-I-N to 36912, and they'll send you a link so you can lock in your discount for later. So if you go outdoors, rain or shine, text CRAIN to 36912 and get 60% off. I've gone on another show. I've talked with our buddy John Neighbors about how much, you know, I think Taylen Green looked better last year than what I thought he was going to be from the passing game. And, you know, a lot of that is what Petrino's done, not just schematically, but developmentally and fundamentally. And Arkansas's got a couple of guys that can go get it. I just, when I look at this Arkansas team and I look at the skill position around Taylen Green, I just don't think there's enough there to consistently hurt a great to elite defense. And I'm worried about Taylen Green's health. I am really worried about Taylen Green and him having to put it all on his shoulders and just because he got beat up last year. If you watch Taylen, he got beat to death last year. Even though Arkansas is going to be calling him, going to be at home, it's going to be early in the season, so there's hope. I just don't know if Arkansas has the depth to be able to compete with Notre Dame for 4 quarters. I've got the Fighting Irish moving to 3-1 with a nice win. Now 1-1 against the SEC.
One of the cool things about Notre Dame not being in a conference is you get to go around the country and play a lot of different teams. I mean, Notre Dame, Arkansas in Fayetteville, that's not any sort of traditional matchup. Only really teams like a Notre Dame can do that. I think that keeps it from being some sort of trap game. Whereas if you're in the SEC and you got Alabama before Arkansas and LSU after Arkansas, maybe that's a bit more of a trap game. I think Notre Dame is going to see an opportunity to go to an SEC stadium and play Arkansas and say, hey, let's send a message to the country. This is going to be a really great showcase of college football, you know, programs that with a lot of pride, basically. I don't think that they're going to like look past them. Arkansas is going to have to legitimately be better on the field, and I don't think they will be.
Look, Arkansas is a weird place to go.
It is a weird place.
Especially if you have to play them at 11:30. Something like that, coming from an Auburn fan.
Well, that's on the road. I'd much rather play Arkansas on the road than at home.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Remember this. Arkansas did beat a playoff team last year in Tennessee. Mm. Okay. If you're Notre Dame, you're going to have to walk in there and play good football to beat Arkansas. I just think there's too much talent on this Notre Dame team. I do think Taylen Green probably takes a step this year. I mean, 3,000 yards through the air. I think 15 touchdowns look pretty good. But I do think there's just too much talent, too much depth when it comes to Notre Dame. I think it's close, maybe a 31-17. I think Arkansas performs well.
Yeah, maybe even has a lead early. I mean,
okay.
I wouldn't be
big
shocked.
Play?
To see
Trick
Taylen.
Play, Sam?
I wouldn't be shocked to see Bobby Petrino run some sort of tight end delay on the first drive. If they get a couple first down that hits. Bobby's going to have something up his sleeve against that defense. All right, so we all have Notre Dame at 3-1. We're all clocking the exact same thing right now, aren't we, to this point? And I don't know if it's going to change because they get Boise at home the next week. I've got Notre Dame winning this game. Ashton Gentry's not there. Like, I just hope everybody realizes how amazing Ashton Gentry was. Go back and watch the Oregon game and just wait to watch him in the league. He's outstanding. He was so good that it made everybody else on Boise State around better because you just had to focus on Ashton Gentry, which gave them some even matchups on the outside that Maddox, their quarterback, was able to take advantage of. They don't have that guy this year. They don't, to me, have the elite, amazing player that's going to keep them in games. I don't have Boise. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I don't have Boise making the college football playoff. I don't think they do anything against Notre Dame. Say what you want. I think Notre Dame handles business at home, moves on, ho-hum, 4-1.
No Ashton Jeanty, but Maddox Madsen is still there playing.
I like Maddox Madsen.
He's a really good football player.
Strawberry
remember,
beer.
Notre Dame made the national championship a year ago after losing to Northern Illinois. And I keep looking up and down this schedule like, man, who's going to be, is there a Northern Illinois on here? I just don't have that right now. I have Notre Dame beating Boise State.
Yeah, I know.
You can do it, though.
I almost did, to be honest. I looked at it a long time, maybe 8 minutes and 30 seconds.
You looked at the Green Goblin mask?
Right? But I want to say, Jaden Morgan for Boise State, coming off the edge, was one of the best playmakers in college football last year. He's going to be even better this year. I mean, I think he had 11 or 12 sacks, which is crazy for a Boise State guy. To get after a young quarterback, I think Madden will play well. It's just that they don't have that guy. Superman's not on Boise State this year, right? Ashton Jeanty had to break 5 tackles to get 6 yards.
Yeah,
right.
And he'd do it.
And he'd do it every single play. I mean, it's going to look pretty good for the Raiders. I do have Notre Dame winning this game, but I have them winning by a field goal, boys.
A field goal?
27-24 wow. Notre Dame.
God, I'm taking Notre Dame to cover that one like a fat kid at a Golden Corral buffet. All right.
Golden Corral's still open? That's still a place?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I've seen Golden Corrals. Have you?
I think.
Yeah,
you haven't paid attention.
I could
not since
you
fall camp in high school. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
8 feet tall.
I think that's why they went out of business.
Yeah, they don't let you in
that
anymore.
Chocolate fountain. Stop.
They said, "Sir, you've had all."
You're like a cheater at a casino. Like you walk in, they're like, "Hey,
that's not cheating. That's you can count."
Yeah, I paid for this.
Yeah. All right. Well, did NC State pay for what's about to happen to them at Notre Dame?
How good is NC State going
to
be?
Okay, so with Dave Doran to me, NC State, and I want NC State fans in the comments to see if you agree with me here. I think you will. When nobody expects NC State to do anything, they do well. When they have expectations, like last year, boring. So, like, I look at NC State, I like Bailey, the young quarterback that they have, but you lost Concepcion. NC State has dudes. Like, we had to play when we were up at South, and they weren't great. That's actually when Sean Glennon was there. So they were pretty decent. It's the longest neck I've ever seen in my life. But they always have playmakers, just not enough. And at this point, Notre Dame is on the trek to the playoff. I got him at 4-1, moving to 5-1 for Dave Doran and the Wolfpack. Not an ACC game, man. You know what I'm saying?
NC State was a huge letdown.
But we called it.
Yeah, huge letdown.
Sat here and said it.
I do like C.J. Bailey, though. I think he's going to turn into a pretty damn good player.
No, he's got a lot of talent.
They don't have enough, especially losing Concepcion, who's over at A&M now. They don't have that guy to be the difference. Too much talent on Notre Dame. Notre Dame, after they get out of A&M, they're going to have more talent than every team they play for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've got a win as well. So what about USC?
Here we go.
This is an old school blue blood rivalry.
It is, and I hope they keep playing this game forever, even though right now it looks like it's not happening. Lincoln, come on. Grow up, Peter Pan. You need this to make your team more physical. It needs to happen. You're going to Notre Dame. God, just the setting for this game for Notre Dame-USC. Whether it's at Notre Dame in front of Touchdown Jesus or at the Coliseum at USC, this is just such a traditional, if you love college football, style game. I think Notre Dame is best at what USC and Lincoln Riley are worst at. I think Marcus Freeman is built to destroy teams with the type of mental culture that USC has. I think they're more physical. Maiava, I'm not sold on him. I know Lincoln does great with quarterbacks. USC's done a hell of a job in the transfer portal. They also lost a lot. I think Notre Dame's physicality, they just beat them up. I think they averaged 3.5 to 4 yards a carry on the ground. I think this may be a Jeremiah Love really puts himself near the top of the Heisman list. I think he runs for over 200 yards in this game, and Notre Dame handles business on offense and defense.
See, this is a point in the season where it's like, man, okay, has Notre Dame officially gotten subpar quarterback play? Remember Michigan a year ago had some really strong players on the defensive line, great running backs, but it was like, okay, the quarterback situation is what it is, and it's not going to get any better. We have to lean on other areas of the team. Is that the case for Notre Dame at this point in the season? We can only watch football games and tell that. I would probably take Notre Dame in this game, even if it were in the Coliseum. Yeah. But being at home, I'm going to double down on Notre Dame.
I'm going with the Trojans, boys. I'm going with the Trojans. You can say what you want about Jaden Miles.
Why?
You might not believe him, but he threw for 360 yards and 2 touchdowns against that Notre Dame defense last year, and they made it to the national championship.
Yeah, it sounds like he's doing that again.
And USC's defense is only, what, improving? 119th 2 years before that, 77th last year. And I think they're going to be better this year. I think Jaden Maiva is going to have a phenomenal game. The quarterback play is going to hurt Notre Dame in this game because I think they're going to have to keep pace to try and score with USC.
Really?
I think USC pulls this dub out and gives Notre Dame their second loss and huge win.
Little shootout then?
Huge win.
Shootout in South Lincoln.
Like last year. What was last year? 49-35?
No, and again, but once I see your boobs the first time, it's not as exciting the second.
See, I
like
I
you've already
see,
showed.
I just
No. Like the first time's the best time
I get
to see him.
As excited seeing.
I get excited. I get excited, but it's just like watching a movie. First time I saw The Dark Knight, loved it. Second time, I loved it, but not as much as the first time.
Yes, you don't like boobs. That's all I am.
Yeah. That's first off. Like I
love. You gotta start cheerleading for the
You know when they ask you if you're a boob or a butt guy? I'm both. I've never understood being one or the other. I like, why can I not? You know, it's like chicken and steak. I love both of those things too.
Well, when the clothes come off, kind of like Notre Dame's next game, off week.
Yeah.
I'll win that one.
You got
sure.
You got at Boston College. I think we're all gonna have that as a win. Then you get another rivalry game, Navy at home, which God, I would never schedule Navy. I would never schedule Navy at all. I don't have to work on this, the triple option, any of that stuff. Y'all know my rules about non-conference scheduling. So at that point, we would all have Notre Dame with one loss.
Wrong.
You have them with two.
Yeah.
That's right, because you have them losing to A&M.
Would you shut up? I mean,
it's hard to keep track of all three at once when I'm looking at my book of truth and a couple lies. So at this point, I've got Notre Dame 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 1.
Yep.
Going on the road to Pitt. You've got them 7 and 2.
Good job.
Cone's got them. Don't talk about math with me.
That's true.
Don't talk about math.
8 and 1.
8 and 1. Then they're going to Pitt.
Yeah.
What do you got, Coney?
I got Notre Dame winning this game. But again, I'll double down on I don't know if you can go into Pitt and win this game if you've gotten below average quarterback play. You need at least a guy who can distribute the football to these playmakers. We're going to find that out soon enough.
See, I always know Jake's up to something when he defers, right?
I always defer. I want the ball in the second.
If they win, he'll always go first. He'll always go first. But if he has something up his sleeve, he'll delegate it to one of us.
Well, you pick, and then let's find out.
I try and mix it up.
Oh, sure. I can't wait for this. I have Notre Dame winning this game. Too much talent. Okay. Go ahead. You're good, aren't you?
I knew it.
Look at that laugh.
I told you. Listen.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
I think Notre Dame's going to be flying high. Just walk through the back end of this schedule, buddy. Just walk through it. You got those geniuses over at Stanford, right? You got the guys who love basketball up at Syracuse. We're going to play Pitt. Look, we like Narduzzi. He's got a cool-ass name. He's done some things. Eli Holstein, bing, bong, bing, bing, bing. One of the best quarterbacks in the country nobody's talking about. Got hurt last year toward the end of the year. Super talented, transferred from Bama. Big guy. I like Pitt's running game. I think the front seven is going to have some success and contain the quarterback a little bit here. A couple turnovers on a wet, nasty day. I think it's going to be a rainy day in Pittsburgh. It's going to be ugly. And in overtime, Notre Dame misses a field goal.
No.
Could send it to another time. Pitt Panthers.
Yeah. Wow.
Shout out Mary. Pitt Panthers on the road to give them their second loss. And it's a little nervy time.
Uh-oh.
Notre Dame, because 9-3, I don't think you're getting in.
No.
Notre Dame, 10-2, you'll find a way to slide on in the DMs and get in there for the playoff. But then you got Syracuse at home. And because I have them losing at Pitt, they know they have to have it. I look, Fran Brown, love what he's doing. Don't know about the quarterback situation over there when you look at, I mean, Angeli, there's a couple.
Kyle McCord, bald.
I think it's going to be Angeli. I know they got the young guy who transferred from LSU. Losing Payne, yes, sucks. He's going to be on a team we're talking about with Penn State. I just don't think Syracuse up front is able to handle Notre Dame, especially on the road. Give me the Fighting Irish to get to 9-2, one win away. Going to have to fight the Andrew Lux.
Yeah.
On the road at the end. I've got a dub there from Notre Dame.
I got a win there as well, and I have them going on the road and beating Stanford. It's 11-1 for me.
It's just Syracuse won, you lost too much. I mean, you lost basically all your playmakers from last year, and you're not sneaking up on anybody this year. I mean, you won 10
games. Kind of like Vandy.
Yeah.
Like, you're not sneaking up on anybody.
You won 10 games last year. I think Notre Dame comes, and they're just a better football team. Right. I think it's 35-21. 35-24 in that range.
So you got them beating Stanford as well.
Correct, coach.
You got them 10-2.
10-2.
I've got them 10-2. You've got them 11-1.
We don't even know who's playing quarterback. That's faith right now.
If you're Notre Dame fan, are you taking 10-2 right now? Because you're in. You're taking with this schedule, 10-2, you're in. I'd take it right now if it was me. With the new quarterback, I'd take it right now.
No. 11-1.
All right, we'll see. We want to know in the comments, what do you think? What's Notre Dame's regular season record going to be? Who's going to be the quarterback? Another big year for Marcus Freeman. Excited to see it. Excited you guys are seeing us as well. If you're not subscribed, make sure you do that. And like the chances, me knowing who's going to win this Notre Dame quarterback battle right now, where it's at in fall camp, we're going. Gone.